Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Yesterday, you're part one of our conversation with Sam Fortier about his reporting on the Commanders and RFK and going kind of the setup to how we got to the point where we are right now, where City Council is the last hurdle for the team and the mayor's office to clear. They got it out of Congress. They came to a deal, and now they join forces to get this thing through City Council and ultimately bring the Commanders back to the district. Part two of our conversation now on what that looks like, and then like literally what it looks like. Things like tailgating, things like PSLs. We get into it all. We'll put the full conversation up on YouTube and in our podcast feed. It'll also live in the Take Command feed as well, so wherever is most convenient for you if you want to listen to the full 45 minutes uninterrupted. But here you go, part two of our chat with Fortier on RFK.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
So let's dive into some of those arguments, if you will, because I think like there's a lot of language here that gets real political. That is very, when I say political, it's politicians trying to sell constituents on this is the right thing for the city. This is the right thing. This is why what I'm fighting for, and thus why you should vote for me again, basically, right? But it does get into some value judgments of like, I, as a district citizen, I'm willing to pay some extra taxes to have the stadium at the RFK site because I want it in the city. That is not just for, you know, what it can do revenue wise. That's not economic reasons. I'm not an economist. I don't have to drive as far. I like having it close by. I like having it metro accessible. So like, I personally am willing to pay that convenience and split the cost with my fellow citizens for not having the stadium in certainly Prince William County, but even in Landover. So there's that side of it. But then there's also kind of the claims that get made here on some of the financing where they're saying, oh, we won't have to introduce any new taxes because they're extending the already existing ballpark tax, or they're going to, you know, apply that same principle to the stadium. And some of the money is actually going to be generated from 2030 to 2032 once the stadium is open. And then you say, OK, well, that money is then paying back the rest of the bonds, and then the profits can start after that. The other big part is that, and this is where I don't know if you know the answer, but like I would want to ask a Charles Allen, a Phil Mendelson, these types of questions, is the argument for not building the stadium is you don't need a stadium to anchor a neighborhood, which is absolutely correct. And every economist will tell you it is better. Like if you want better return for investment, build more housing, build grocery stores, build shops, build all those things, not a football stadium. But if you don't have a football stadium, you still have to build the roads, update the metro, do all the infrastructure work that the money that is being, or is the public money, would have to pay for. So like, do we have any idea what an alternate plan would look like and how much that would cost taxpayers? Because I think that is a relevant thing, because they're trying to make it seem like, oh, well, if you build a stadium, it's going to be $1 billion of public money. And if you build no stadium, it's $0 of public money. But I want to know how all this stuff's getting done without the Commanders $2.7 billion, even if a lot of that might go to the stadium, because that is a relevant figure, in fact, here as well.
Totally. And that's something that we don't have a lot of clarity on, because the mayor and the council have not
put forward, which makes a lot of sense because this is Plan A,
right?
And they're going to go hard on Plan A until, you know, it gets voted down or it gets approved. But we don't have a great sense of, if the stadium was not there, you know, how many more housing units would there be? How much public investment would it cost? You know, people always talk about the Wharf 2.0, basically, or that's the model they want to use. And I think that, you know, there's very legitimate concerns, talking to my Metro colleagues, about when you go to the Wharf, there's some affordable housing, there's some like luxury housing, and there's like very little in the middle.
Yeah.
So when they promise, okay,
you also pay the RFK $8,000 to park.
Right. The RFK site, the city says is 30% is going to be affordable housing. But then, like, how do you make sure that it's not 30% affordable and 70% luxury?
Right.
I think that that's like creating not just a community, but a well-balanced community. I think that's going to be something that the mayor's office is going to have to figure out too. And it's important to acknowledge that when they go public, that does not mean they have every single detail ironed out. The Commanders, for example, have not even hired an architect yet. But you have to go public because if you're going to have this many people involved, like, it's going to come out. And so you want to set the terms of, hey, this is how we want to present our idea. But basically, like, we know the big numbers, 2.7 private investment, just over $1 billion public investment. Here's where the sites are. Here's who would control these different districts. But we don't have all of the details yet. And that's something that, like, I think council members and citizens have a real opportunity to shape going forward is, hey, what demands or what concessions can we get them to accept as they hammer out the finer points of this deal?
The other big thing that I find fascinating, I think you're a great person to ask about this, is the idea that this land is probably still locked up in Congress without the lobbying effort of the Commanders and the NFL. And while Josh Harris has said the right thing, which is, we think this land is best in DC's hands and letting DC decide what to do with it, they're not going to be this involved if they didn't think they were getting a stadium out of the deal. If they put in that much work and that much money to lobby and the effort and the time and all that kind of stuff, and then it's like, all right, now we got the land. You guys have fun with it. He's not going to be psyched about that. do you think that argument will carry any water with any of the city council folks who are currently no or currently undecided on this? That, like, you don't have this decision to make if it's without the Commanders. This land would still be locked up and rotting away for at least another year, and like it has been for most of the last 30 years.
I think that that was one of Maryland's main arguments when they were raising objections to the RFK bill in the first place. They said, hey, like, you're doing this to get a football stadium, and we don't believe that using taxpayer funds in a football stadium, you know, or we don't believe that, you know, giving the Commanders free federal land, they're paying $1 in rent. We don't think that that is like a fair competition. That was like their main counter argument. And so when you would ask Charles Allen or any of these council members, like, They love that DC has control of the land. No one wants RFK Stadium as it's been for the last 20 years.
Right.
But it's all about taxpayer funding. So is there any argument to, like, the Commanders helped you out? I would say if I'm a council member and you ask me that question, I'm like, it's very nice that the Commanders, like, were interested in helping the city, you know, be at the table, and the NFL was interested in helping the city be at the table in this competition. But that does not mean that we have to then give you the land for $1 rent and then give you development rights, or that we have to contribute more than $1 billion of taxpayer money. And that's a totally legitimate, defensible position for a council member to take. And if I'm Mayor Bowser, it's like, they helped me, I'm going to, you know, work with them on a deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, so I feel like that's most of kind of the hot button things that have been discussed the last couple of days. What else is interesting to you about this moving forward?
The whip count. Like, yeah. Are they going to pass this deal is fascinating to me because it's fascinating to me because at the pep rally announcement, there were four council members. And right. I can go into those if you'd like, but there were four council members, and then there are three pretty vocal public, we do not believe in either A, a stadium, or B, taxpayer funds for a stadium, who have come out against it. And right now, there are 12 members on the city council. It's 13 members, but Ward 8 is vacant. So you're going to have to get, you know, there's four, three against. That leaves five people still in, you know, still sitting. And you have to figure out how do we get three of those people. And actually, the exclusive negotiating window, as outlined in this term deal, is it ends the same day that the special election for the Ward 8 council seat is. So you're really going forward with, hey, there are 12 people, four are with us, three are against us. Can we get three of the five? And that to me is a fascinating question because it's going to probably determine, like, can they build the stadium or not?
Right. And we know that when Nats Park was built, for instance, there was a Nats Baseball Academy in Ward 7 that had to get built. I imagine there's going to be things like that. Like, what happens in other places, that whether it's support for youth football programs or Lord knows what else. Hey, all right, Events DC is involved. We need a new parking garage. Like, there's going to be stuff that gets thrown in here to make these people happy. Do we have any idea of those five, like what some of their demands might be? Or is there any particular one or two that are really interesting to you of what you think they might want based off their past histories or previous statements?
So the other five council members that we're talking about here, Robert White, Christina Henderson, Matthew Frumman in Ward 3, Zachary Parker in Ward 5, and Janice Lewis-George in Ward 4. Like, those five people, I don't know exactly what their demands will be. You know, they're playing pretty coy because right now in this negotiating period, the vaguer you are, that, you know, the more commitments you try to get. I mean, this is a thing that, like, will be impressed by the timeline or improved by the timeline. And so right now, like, we just don't know where they're going to be. But I got to tell you, Craig, like, one political phrase that surprises me every time I hear it, even though I've been writing political adjacent or political stories or working on them with my colleagues for 3 years now, is like, there's a term, pound of flesh. They always talk about, like, this council member has to get their pound of flesh.
Yes.
And it's so funny to me because it's like, people talk about, you know, football can be so brutal and violent and gladiatorial. And it's like, okay, well, this congressman is objecting to this deal so he can get his pound of flesh. It was so popular when we were talking about the Montana Senator, Steve Daines. It was like, oh, he's trying to get his pound of flesh. And to me, it always is like, oh, like, that's a wild way to phrase that.
They just want the thing they can put in the ad.
Totally.
To get reelected. And that's like, ultimately, that's what this is about for so many of these people, is like, yeah, they run for a reason. Yeah, some of them are in it for public service. Hopefully all of them are in it for true public service and they'll have the public's best interest at heart, but they also want to keep their jobs. And like, so much of politics and what gets done is about that. Who am I willing to piss off? Who am I terrified of pissing off because they might fund a primary challenge or this or that? It's all very silly. But you'd hope that you actually get what is best for the district. And that's what they're all going to say, right? They're all going to be like, I will do a deal that's good for the district. You know, and Mayor Bowser's like, well, we want the win-win-win. We want what's good for the district, good for the commanders, all this stuff. And it's just like, my question is like, what is good? And I think that's the thing that is hard. And, you know, you got all the marketing materials, if you will, here. And one of those pages says, oh, there'll be no new taxes and no new that. And like, and I saw there was the polling yesterday. JP Finley tweeted out the polling from, it's like Heart Research or something like that, which
team funded.
Yeah. As a team, it based off the percentages and the way the questions were written, very team funded, which fine. And it's like, do you support a stadium at RFK if there's no new taxes? And it's like, 85% yes. And it's like, No kidding. But that's not the right question. The question is like, can they actually do that? And I think part of the other question I have, Sam, is like, if they can't, who foots the bill for the extra? Because the reality is like, this is getting into national politics, but it is what it is. There's no way to separate these things. Like, Trump's tariffs are could massively affect the cost of a stadium. Like, if you're talking about construction materials right now and shipping costs and all these things, like, we truly don't know based off what deals he cuts with what countries and where the steel and the concrete and all of these things that go, the microchips for the all the technology. Like, they're anticipating the stadium to cost X amount. What if the stadium costs 2X? And, like, who pays for that? Like, that those details are really important, too.
Two things there. One, Terry Pegula owns the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills right now are building an approximately 65,000 seat stadium. And he actually addressed this the other day. He said it's actually more expensive to build this stadium than we thought. And that's a huge deal. I don't want to be too out of my depth talking about what Trump's tariffs will mean, but I asked Josh Harris if who will pay for the cost overruns of this project, if there are any. Right. And he said the Commanders, 100%. So
okay.
That is a pretty clear-cut answer where if the tariffs or something else affect the cost
of goods, there be a million different,
the Commanders are going to cover it.
Yeah, I mean, just the natural way these things go. What was the last construction project you heard of that came in on budget? Now, because of the current economic situation and the trends and the predictions, most economists and most experts agree that like this is something that is going to affect it. But I'm curious how... That was why I think that's like a really important caveat is it, one, it's construction. It's probably going to come in overpriced. Two, the way construction costs are headed right now, if they design this thing, you know, in the last 3 months, what the construction costs are a year from now are totally unpredictable. Maybe they're better. Maybe they're not. We don't know. But understanding that kind of stuff is really important because so often in these things, it's like you get the private pledge and then the public has to foot the rest of the bill. If we know that the Commanders are doing it going in, I think that's great. And it also speaks to what I feel like is almost a unique facet of this project too. They're not just going to build the stadium. Like they are responsible for the development of most of the stuff around the stadium, which actually, I don't want to say like, I don't know. I don't know how good the city is at building stuff. I don't know like who did the wharf and whatever else, but I do kind of trust the Harris Group to do whatever they do well. And I am fascinated to see how they develop these different districts around the stadium, as Sam is holding up here.
Yeah, people can't really see it.
The stadium district, the riverfront district, you know, the recreation district, and like what kind of stuff goes here and how Commanders branded it is if Josh Harris and the Harris Group are, you know, the main constructors of the rest of this 180 acres.
I think that's a trend you're seeing across sports right now. Everybody loves to talk about the Battery in Atlanta with the Braves, but like Mark Cuban, when he sold the Mavericks, like said he understood the edge in the early 2000s. He understood media rights deals were going to drive an explosion in franchise valuations, which is why he felt like the Mavericks were a good bet. He sold it because he felt like he did not understand the next edge, which is real estate development. And if you go down, it's like, the Washington Commanders, the Atlanta Braves, the North Carolina State University Wolfpack like want to build these ancillary development projects. You want to control real estate in the same way that Stan Kroenke did with the Rams. Like there are so many of these projects, I think, at this point that are driving, like the land acquisition and development is driving the franchise valuations now as much as anything. And so, you know, what can Josh Harris do? I mean, they want to put bars, they want to put restaurants, they want to put, you know, mixed-use development at retail to, like, drive, you know, valuations up. And I think it also is a part of tailgating, which we can talk about. But to me, like, they have in their orbit people that know how to do those things.
Yeah.
You know, that was going to be a part of the Ted Leonsis deal in Virginia. So to me, land development goes part and parcel with owning a sports team these days.
It's the old McDonald's theory. McDonald's not a restaurant; they're a real estate company.
Exactly. Like I don't know if you saw The Founder, the movie.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But that's the scene. Like when BJ right. Novak is like, "You don't know what business you're in." I really think that's what's happening in sports right now.
Which is interesting too, because I think Keim asked Harris about this of like the investment side of it, and he was basically like, "Look, we want to do it right by the fans, right by the team, right by the city." And like, if it works out for us in the long term financial, like this is not the best way I could invest this money if I was purely doing this as an investment. But also being a landlord is a pretty good deal in the long run.
I was just saying, Josh Harris is a smart guy.
Yeah. I feel like he's like this is a way. But also, you know, if you're going to put up $2.7 billion, like, I'm not like, hey, go billionaires by any stretch of the imagination.
Hold on. But I'm going to clip that just so you know. I'm going to clip you going, go billionaires, and that's it.
You're
going
to cut off the I am not right before
exactly,
it?
Exactly. It's like.
All right, that was a great time to have Sam. Get the hell out of my house. No, but I'm certainly not go billionaires. But if you're going to put up $2.7 billion, it's not like you're not allowed to make any of that back. Like,
yeah, I mean, when you get 20 people in your ownership group to spend $6.05 billion on this thing, like, people want their money back. Like, yeah, you know, Mitch Rales, Mark Guyne, Josh Harris all have an emotional connection to this team doing right by the city. But, like, there are people who don't have that emotional connection who see this as a business opportunity, and it's like, where is my ROI?
Yeah, well, the franchise value is going to go up, and maybe they cash out after some of this. We'll see. But, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to follow some of the pieces. Speaking of one of the other owners, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this part up. Magic Johnson, not only an owner with the Commanders, he's an owner with the Washington Spirit as well. And this actually came out in a New York Times, or I guess the Athletic piece today, that Jason Wright, who, of course, former Commanders president, mentioned to the author of this article something that, frankly, I had talked with Jason about, you know, over the course of the last couple of years, which is that they have been in contact with the Spirit about, do we want to partner here? Is there an opportunity to do something similar to the Star in Frisco, where it's like, can we build a 10,000 seat stadium that is a practice facility for the Commanders and maybe an actual stadium for high school football or the Spirit or both of those entities? And I think now with the way the Spirit are rolling, 10,000 is way too small because they're selling out Audi Field on a regular basis. But I did see in one of, I think it was the, whatever the sheet is over here with all the logos on it of the different things they could do. Like, the Spirit's logo is in there. And they talk about, you know, opportunities for women's sports. They talk about some of the other things they want to do with this space besides just having the Commander Stadium there and the kind of non-sports stuff. Do we know at this point what other teams may want to get involved? What other sports facilities, professional sports facilities, could go here? Or do we think that it's going to be limited to the Commanders? It is going to be them, stadium only, no practice facility, no nothing else. And then ultimately the rest of the development goes to the mixed use or the other mix of uses that Mayor Bowser and the council want to see out of this.
So I was just looking through the term sheet because in there it does say with the potential for a women's soccer team. It doesn't say the Spirit by name, but like you said, the Spirit logo is on there. I think the Spirit moving there for a practice facility or something or games, like, that's definitely on the table. And
because I think they would love, even if it's just a practice facility, right? They're playing at Audi. Their players have to drive in an hour to games compared to they're in Ashburn. And like, it would not. Michelle Kang is a smart businesswoman, the owner of the Spirit. If you want to know more about that, go look at how she became the majority owner of that team. She basically pulled a coup, which was badass. But like, bringing in Magic as someone, not as a just as a big name and someone with some serious cash, but someone who is also a part owner of the biggest team in town, just in the middle of stadium negotiations, that to me felt like a shrewd move at the time. That is a compliment, and I would not be surprised to see them, and I'm also curious if there's anybody else who gets involved.
I think that they're definitely open to having more sports teams involved, but right now, Josh Harris said that he doesn't anticipate moving the team's practice facility from Ashburn. He said that they like it out there, and he said there's no plans to move the team's corporate headquarters from College Park. That could change. I know that, you know, Tom Sherwood, who you brought up,
yeah,
has been, you know, critical of teams that, corporations that quote unquote play in the district, but they have their corporate headquarters where it's more tax advantageous in Virginia or Maryland. But Josh said basically that they like having touch points in all three jurisdictions, stadium, DC, corporate headquarters, Maryland, practice facility, Virginia. It seems to me like the practice facility will stay in Ashburn, at least for the foreseeable future, which is surprising to me because that land is so valuable for data centers. I thought they were going to cash out, but it does not appear to be that way.
Well, they've set up the paperwork if they want to change their mind.
They have, yes,
and
totally.
That is something that's in the last year and a half that they got the right licenses or whatever to make sure that they can build the data centers out there in Ashburn where that land is stupid valuable.
Right. And so to me, like, there's a lot of questions I think that we're going to have going forward. I think they want to figure out, okay, let's get this thing passed. Let's figure out where we're going to be. And then, okay, maybe we do something like the Star. But I mean, the Star in Frisco, Texas, they have a lot more land around there than DC does. So it would be, I think, more logistically difficult.
It would move them out of Virginia. But in a lot of ways, I think the smartest place to put the new practice facility would be in Landover.
Yeah.
Like PG County is the wealthiest black county in America per capita. And so if you all of a sudden say, all right, hey, we're trying to recruit players and like you can live amongst your peers in a majority black league out there in PG County, they have 200 acres. Certainly Maryland would, they want to use that land for what's best for the community, but also if they can welcome or keep the Commanders in a pretty large presence, it's also, again, a lot closer to the city.
They still own that land, so it would just be repurposing things that they already own.
Right, they don't have to do any kind of purchase, so they could sell Ashburn, make a ton of cash, reinvest that cash in. And the thing is, on the Ashburn site, as you well know, as someone who still has to go there on a more regular basis than I do, that place, they don't have the room to expand. Like, they've already knocked down almost all the walls inside that they can. There's not really room because of the way, like, the hills are shaped for extensions on that. They'd run out of either parking or practice space. So if they want to have a modern NFL practice facility, they need to build a new one. And it would, to me, it would make sense to say, hey, giant tech companies that are flush with cash and running out of space in Ashburn, who's the highest bidder? Okay, you own this now. We're going to Landover. And so I don't know what that means for their relationship with Virginia, because I, like you said, or like you referenced, Josh said they like having it in all three, but that would not surprise me long-term if that was a play.
No, it makes a lot of business sense for some good business people. And I would say the other concern or question that I have about how the team approaches this, if they do ultimately get approval, is tailgating. I know that's been a thing that people have been really concerned about. They have 22,000 parking spaces at Northwest Stadium. They're going to go down to approximately 8 in DC. And as you pointed out, like, they say that they'll start with a little surface parking, but it'll all eventually be in structures. I asked a Commander's official, hey, how is this going to work? Like, will you be able to tailgate if you're there? And this person basically said, look, like, we will figure out how to make it a tailgating experience in a parking structure. I don't know. They did not have details on what that would look like. But if that doesn't work out, they can go to the area, the stadium district we're going to develop right in front of the area, and they can tailgate there, which obviously would be in team-developed, team-leased places. So what does tailgating look like? How do people get to the park, especially if there's only going to be 8,000 parking spaces? You're going to have to rely on metro, rideshare, bikes, things like that. But it's I think the logistics of this site, it's a totally fair and open question, because that's the inherent cost of centrality and, you know, getting the emotional spot that appeals to people.
I mean, this is anything in a city. Like, there are, if you want space, you got to go out to the suburbs. If you want centrality, you want convenience, like, you're going to have to deal with some other stuff. It's why, you know, living in the city and paying for parking every month in my own residence, like, it's not great. Like, it just is a part of it, though. If you want to have that convenience, you're going to have to pay for it. And so I get it. And there's some people that care a lot about the tailgating. But at some point, you have to make choices. And I think that's really a good place to end, is like, over the next 3 months, a lot of people are going to have to make choices. And for city council members, it's going to be, do you want the stadium here or not? And I think ultimately that is the leverage that the Commanders have. Of course, the city council members have their vote as their leverage on the other side. Anything else you want to add on the tail end here to wrap up?
One thing I've heard a lot from fans that I want to add is about personal seat licenses, PSLs, which are going to make tickets more expensive. I think Buffalo is actually, again, a great example of this, because in Buffalo, they're building a similar size structure, and they just introduced PSLs for the first time. About 20 of the 32 teams have them. Josh Harris said PSLs are just a part of building a new stadium in the NFL, because it's a big upfront infusion of cash. And the way PSLs work, it's like buying a ticket to get into a store to then buy something. You're going to have to pay for the right to buy your seat if you're a season ticket holder. And for the lower, you know, end tickets for the common fan, in Buffalo, you buy a 30-year PSL, and it's between $2,500 and $8,000. If you want
per
a more
year.
No, or no, it's you buy it for 30 years. So you have a 30-year PSL, okay. $2,500 to $8,000. And if you want a premium seat or a club seat, it's between $15,000 and $50,000.
Wow, okay.
But if you're a fan who sits in the nosebleeds, but you love your seat and you've always had it, you know, if you pay in that range, you will have the right to buy your season tickets for the next X amount of years. We don't know what the Commanders' cost will be. We don't know what the Commanders', you know, terms will be in terms of the length of the deal. But that is something that I've heard from fans, because it's like, hey, like, I've loved this team. I've been through the thick and thin. Can I now transfer my seats to the new stadium? Because, like, I was here when y'all were down, and now y'all are up, and I want to still be there.
Right.
So I think that's a question that I have, and I asked Josh Harris about the affordability, and he was like, look, I totally understand PSLs are a big thing people talk about. We will have an affordable game day experience, even in the context of PSLs. And to me, the question is, okay, what are the ticket prices going to be? What are the concessions going to be? Atlanta, I think, has been a leader in the NFL yep. in making concessions affordable. Obviously, this stadium is such a big opportunity for the team and to make money and to get their return on investment. But will they keep fans along for the ride, especially the fans that were there when they were down? Legacy fans that have had tickets since Griffith Stadium, a lot of, you know, some people definitely have been there that long. That's what I'm going to be watching going forward is does he follow through and put his money where his mouth is?
So far, so good. And basically everything Josh Harris has done for the Commanders. This is going to be a big test, though. Sam Fortier will be covering it in the Washington Post. If you read it, you get his T-shirt. It's not true.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
All right, that was Fortier with us. He was wearing a Washington Post T-shirt, which is why I said that there at the end. Again, if you want the full uninterrupted conversation, we'll put it up in our podcast feed and on YouTube at Craig Hoffman at the Team 980. Speaking of which, never read the comments on both the RFK situation and what the Commanders did in the draft next here on the Team 980.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.